taking a look at the Edmonton Oilers, as you know, you follow them very closely. Ethan Bear, was this a number you thought would land at, and the term as well, the 2 years?
Strutty, the 2 years, it surprised me, and so too did the price point. Now, if we were talking prior to, you know, bringing up how Ethan Bear didn't have arbitrates and how everything's frozen when it comes to the cap, and I actually thought that was, you know, I thought he was going to come in around 1.5, somewhere around there. And it was an interesting play. Like, his agent and Bear kind of did this. They drove a hard bargain for his ELC. They got a bit more. So this time around, I kind of figured, well, you know, what they had done in the past, maybe they'll try to do it again. And again, they drove a hard bargain. They waited the Oilers out. And sure enough, you know, they end up with a better deal. You know, 2 years, roughly around $2 million. And I think him and his agent did a good job. And now, you know, we can put aside worrying about his next contract. He can put aside all of that. No more worries. Now the focus shifts to what he has to do on the ice. And that's continue to be a solid NHL defenseman in the top four, chip in some offense and get better in the defensive zone. Eliminate the mistakes and a time of peaks and valleys as a young NHL player. He's had way more peaks, guys, and he's done a good job of minimizing the valleys, and that's got to continue as he continues to blossom. So I think a good breath of fresh air and a sigh of relief, it's done. And he gets a bit of money, and now go and earn it kind of thing.
Tom Gazzola joins us. And Tommy, Devin Shore, you know, Ryan Stanton's on a PTO. I think that's as a body to, you know, he's an American League guy for a long time. But Devin Shore had 33, 32, 29 points last year, dipped down quite a bit. But what do you make of Devin Shore when you consider they have 17 forwards on one-way deals? If he gets signed, does he sign like a two-way deal, or what do you think?
Well, that's going to be interesting. Like, I still, when I saw that, I was like, man, I'm surprised they were able to get a guy that's been around the league for a while. He had some traction in Dallas, and if push comes to shove and he plays well enough and earns a contract, and it has to be a two-way deal, and he doesn't have a better deal somewhere else, which is possible and could happen, then maybe he bites the bullet and takes a two-way deal. But the other thing too, guys, is all of a sudden, if you're a guy in the bottom six and you think that your spot is solidified, you've got someone that's been around the league, has been productive in certain points in time, and is probably hungry to take an everyday NHL job away from you. So it rises up the level of competition a little bit. And if you're a guy like Jujhar Khaira and maybe a Gaetan Haas, you're looking over your shoulder a little bit and thinking, well, this guy's been around the league. He knows how to do it. And if I'm not sharp and performing and pulling the weight properly like I'm supposed to, then this guy might be taking my job. And the other thing too, I think it speaks to the level of depth that you want with taxi squad and all of that as well, guys. So I think that's a good get. He's an everyday NHL player, and he has been for a few years. So a good surprise there, I thought, at least.
You know, when you look at it, I think that the contract that is still maybe, you know, doesn't haunt them, but is who's the Russell? You know, signing Russell to that contract that quick, you know, I guess they couldn't have predicted that any of this would happen. But to me, that's the guy. You know, you could probably get Devin Shore for the same contract as that, and he's a more versatile player than Russell.
Yeah,
Patrick Russell, I should say.
Yeah, of course, Patrick Russell, and I think this is a guy. You know, we were talking about Alex Chiasson a while ago, maybe getting squeezed out and fighting for playing time, and you're right, Strutty, like, Patrick Russell gets announced to an extension, and all of a sudden we're going, oh, okay, right, yeah, he's still sticking around. I know he works hard and he's a grinder and all of that, but I mean, the body of work that he has compared to a guy like Shore and some of the other guys just fighting to get ice time and into games puts him way behind the eight ball. And you're right, when you look at the contracts and the cap and all of that, you go, well, I suppose the Oilers could have saved some money and a contract and maybe, you know, offered Patrick Russell a two-way deal or something like that, because, you know, as much as you admire the hustle and effort he puts in, there hasn't been a ton of results.
Tom Gazzola joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1220. 60. Tommy, here we are. Teams will start tomorrow, seven of them anyway, getting on the ice for training camp. And then on Sunday, the other 24 teams will get going. What's your best guess on what they're going to do with the goaltending situation? Are, like, out of 56 games, are we talking like a 28-28 split? Is it going to be 30-26? Do you think it's going to be more? What do you think?
Guys, I feel like, honestly, it'll likely end up being close to 50-50 again. And I know there's a lot of Oilers fans, especially after the return to play last year, that have kind of written off Mike Smith. And here's the facts. He went 12-3-4 in the time span between January 1 and March 11. And he was excellent for them. He had some stellar games. Does he let in weak goals? Yeah, absolutely. Does he look lost sometimes? Yeah, absolutely. He's, 39 years old. His best career days are behind him, but he still got that competitive spirit in him, and he was good. When the calendar flipped to 2020, he was good, and Mikko Koskinen had to fight to get into the net, and when he did, he had to play good, which he did. And quite honestly, guys, in the return to play, both guys weren't great. I didn't think Mikko Koskinen did a lot either to help the team, and the guys in front of him weren't good. So at the end of the day, I mean, some fans might not like it, but I feel like it's going to end up being a 50-50 split again. When one guy's not going, they need that other guy going. Otherwise, it could be a world of hurt for the Oilers, and that's the major question mark going into the season, at least in my eyes, when it comes to this team.
You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of talk about the goaltending, not just here, but other places, but specifically to the Oilers. I'm not worried about the goalies.
Really?
You can't always be thinking, or not you, but, you know, we worry so much about the goalies, and I said it last year, and I said it in the restart, and I'll say it now. The Oilers' team awareness to defending has to go up a bunch. It's just too easy to get shots on them, and in front of the net, it's enjoyable to be in front of there. They've got to be a harder team in those areas. And without that, you could drop Carey Price and drop whoever you want. The results may improve somewhat, but not enough to make a big difference. The players can have such an impact on the goalies' results. It's crazy. And I'm not going to let the team off the hook. I went through those goals and I looked at them and restart. They were just like, you know, tips off people's bad breakout pad, like all that stuff. They have to understand, you have to manage the puck and manage the other team. And so the goalies, to me, I think they're fine. I'm not worried about the goalies. Are they super elite? No, but they're average, and I'll take average if your team plays better defense in front of them.
Well, and Strutty, that's probably the second biggest question mark, is what does this defense look like when it finally gets out there? Are they going to struggle in their own zone? How will their outlet passes be? Can they break up cycles? And I'm looking at the D-core without Oscar Klefbom, and I'm scratching my head going, I don't think I have a great understanding. I mean, to me, I think the defense could be good and bend but not break a lot of times. Or if there are major deficiencies on the blue line, then I think that could, you know, spell big time trouble for this team this upcoming season. Doesn't matter how much firepower you have, if you're letting in 5-6 goals a night, those are tough games to win, even with the two most prolific offensive players in the game right now.
Tommy, are your Arizona Cardinals going to make the playoffs?
Yes. Yes, this Sunday is going to be massive. The Goff busted thumb, I think, is massive. And Kyler Murray's good to go. Not that I have some faith in Chris Trevler, you guys. I loved him when he was in the CFL, and he's starting to get some praise down here, even though he's really, his minutes have been completely limited. But I think the Cardinals pull it off this weekend and punch their ticket to the postseason. And injuries and good luck on that part play a huge factor in that determination. So I'm going to have faith this weekend, guys. I think they get it done.
You're banking on the Packers beating the Bears, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, yes. But I think it happens. I think everything falls into place and aligns, and the planets and stars align for the Arizona Cardinals to punch their ticket to the playoffs in a wild card spot.
Well, Tommy, have yourself a great Wednesday evening. Enjoy New Year's Eve, and we'll talk to you next year.
Happy New Year, my friend.